My strategy, I quite often say, is so basic, it's kind of too simple for most clever people. So most people are trying to outthink it, trying to think there's something special, that there must be some hidden secret that I'm not telling them or someone else isn't telling them.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we continue the conversation with Chris Gray, who will share how he successfully invested in property to live a lavish life and give back to charities. Discover the mindset that aided him when the market turned south, and the strategy that's just too simple for most clever people. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. So, what held him back from investing in property initially?
My mindset was pretty closed, like most people's. My dad was a heart physician, studied at Cambridge University. So he was very much an academic and decided that, look, we should go to school, ideally go to university, get proper jobs and things like that. And so I was going to be an employee for life. And I just happened to go down a different type of journey. And I guess I was quite rebellious as a kid. And if I was told to do something, I'd always do the opposite, even if I wanted to do it. And so, suddenly kind of 10, 12 years later, then ended up being unemployed or self-unemployed or retired or whatever you want to call it. And then more of an entrepreneur these days.
He had to adopt a different mindset when he started buying investment properties.
I think the main thing with mindset is more that anything is possible. And really, there aren't any rules. And if people tell you that there are rules, then there's always a different way. And ultimately, it all comes down to your why. Now, being an accountant or an ex-accountant, I'm very numbers-focused, and I'm not into these airy-fairy kind of seminars where you kind of dream and draw pictures and the rest of it. But in hindsight, I know this is one of the most important things. So your biggest thing is what are the reasons you're doing this for? Because it's going to be a tough road, and it's going to be a long journey. It's not going to be overnight, and there's going to be some pretty tough, hard times that will really test you. And this is when your why is strong enough, then that'll get you through things. That if you've got to ring 10 banks or 50 banks or 100 banks, then you'll go through that because failure isn't an option. So being not repaying a loan and becoming a bankrupt or something isn't an option. You've got to repay all your loans. And so you will kind of beg, borrow, steal or have 5 or 10 jobs to be able to do that. And that's when you need an open mindset to say, well, okay, I keep going down this way. It's not working. What are the other options? How can I go and do it? So rather than accept the no, it's how can I go and do it?
Yeah, definitely. And having the resilience to be able to push through and persevere without giving in, because a lot of people will end up giving in. Either they sell the property or they just, as you said, don't pay and lose it through the bank, which is not a good thing as well. It's definitely having that resilience to push through and changing that mindset to go, okay, nope, I've got to do it. I've got to, whatever it takes, I've got to be able to push through this whole, I guess, problem or issue that I've just put myself into. Great.
And it depends how hard you push yourself, because if you just buy one additional property and if it doesn't go right, sure, you can sell it and hopefully things will be okay with the bank and it's not a big deal. But if you've suddenly bought 10 or 20 properties and the market turns or you're in trouble for 5 or 10%, then that can be a lot of money. And it's not a kind of thing that you can ever get far from having a job. And so, sometimes you've got to push through. So I remember hearing Aussie John Simon. He said, like, I couldn't get a job at McDonald's to solve my financial problems. I kind of had to do it big or nothing or effectively fail. So it's really putting in your position where there is no choice, that you've got to make it work.
Gray believes in educating yourself before investing into property. And he's a true believer that most courses are good, though what you pay for is what you get.
I've done multiple courses over the last 10 or 15 years, and a lot of them are probably not around these days, because quite often the speakers might be around for a few years and they morph into something else or their business changes. I guess just like my business. So I started off mentoring at, I think, about 32, 33. I did that for a few years. And then now we just do the buyer's agent business. So again, my courses that I was doing aren't even around these days. So look, my thought is I think all the courses are good. And sure, you might, some are free, some are $1,000, some might be $5,000 or $10,000 or even $50,000. And they're all good, and do what you can afford. You can't do them all at the same time, but maybe thinking about doing one course a year and start off with the free ones and move to the paid ones. But a general thought is you get what you pay for. So if you go to a free course, you're probably going to be sold lots of other things. But there's still lots of great information there. If you're paying a few thousand for a course, then the chances are then you're going to get more value out of that because you paid good money. People are only going to give information up. So, I mean, for someone like me, I don't go and speak for a few hundred dollars. Is if someone really wants my time, it's thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. So if you really do want those experts, then you've effectively got to pay for them. And some people say, well, how do you know who's good and who's bad? And I say, look, even if someone's just got out of prison, I think it's worth learning from them, because you can learn how maybe they did the wrong thing, or how they ripped someone off, or how they bent the rules or whatever else. And obviously, I'm not going to advocate that anyone ever does anything illegal or stretches the boundaries too much. But it's more a case of learn how other people got ripped off.
One thing that he advocates when investing into property, and a big tip for everyone, is to get an independent bank valuation. He explains why.
Probably one of the biggest things I learned from the first course I did, which I advocate all the time now, is getting an independent bank valuation. So wherever you buy property, anywhere in the world, if you go to a completely independent valuer and probably pay them $500, so I'm not talking about getting a $25 online one, I'm talking about getting a full inspection, that valuer has then got an insurance policy that if it was ever proved that the property you bought wasn't worth what you paid for it, effectively you could sue the valuer. And it's not to have a property investing strategy that's based on suing people, but a valuer, if he's putting his kind of balls on the line about things, he's not going to lie over it because he can get sued and their policies are very, very expensive. That's almost a guarantee that you're never going to overpay for a property. But the reality is most people will try and save that $500 and they won't go and do it.
He says a lot of people don't take this into consideration, and that's what makes a big difference between a successful investor and an amateur.
We buy the same types of properties in the same areas all the time. So we know our market very, very well because we've been in it for 10 or 20 years. But every single time we buy, we go and get an independent valuation for $550, a building inspection for $440, and a strata inspection for $250. So we pay $1,250 before we even consider putting an offer in. Whereas Joe Public, that hasn't got the knowledge, they virtually never use any of those services.
Over the years, Gray has been coached by various mentors, helping him grow his property empire. But nowadays, he seeks the best professionals he can find and bring them onto his show to share the knowledge with others as well.
I've used lots of mentors over the years, and I think you grow out of them at times, so there's quite often no mentor for life, but you use them for different amounts. I mean, I hire the very best professionals I can, so a lot of the professionals that I use might charge $1,000 an hour, and they work for some of the top firms. A lot of the entrepreneurs I speak to through the entrepreneurs organization, which I mentioned in the previous interview, then a lot of those, it's almost no cost. We're part of a club or an organization that's all self-helping, and we discuss things together. But look, I mean, people like Anthony Bell from Bell Partners, who is John McGrath's accountant, he's always been very good to me because he understands the local eastern suburbs and Sydney market that I invest in, because he's invested there as well. And he spends a lot of time with the agents. And again, people like Charles Tarby, Tom Panoff, a lot of these people I get on my show now. And so this is quite a good thing, in that in the old days, so 15 years ago, I'd look up to these people and I was very, very grateful that they'd even give me 5 minutes of their time. Whereas now a lot of these people, because I do Sky Business and I can get them on as guests, a lot of the time when I wanted to meet people, I'd just say, hey, do you want to come on my show and share your experiences? And I'm kind of, I'm almost not thinking of the viewer. I'm thinking of me. What stuff do I want to learn from these guys? And I can ask them any questions I want. And of course, it's of interest to the viewers as well, because obviously they've got a similar thing that they're trying to achieve at the same time. So suddenly I can almost be like an equal to these guys, and we've got their mobile numbers, and we can talk to them and ring them pretty much anytime we want, because, I get them on TV, I give them exposure, I can help kind of get them out to my clients as well. So it's more of a two-way relationship now rather than paying them specifically for some of their advice.
Yeah, it's absolutely a win-win situation. And by doing that, I think everyone all appreciates it, because not only are you helping them leverage and giving them exposure, you're also learning what you or want to ask questions that you don't know about, and you're able to get them on the show as well to be able to share that with your viewers as well. So it's absolutely a win-win.
And that's the whole idea with property investing or business, is about creating win-win solutions that everyone wins, and then there's a reason for everyone to be involved in it. I mean, another firm that I spend a lot of time with is I used to work at Deloitte, so I'm a client of Deloitte Private. Now, a lot of people think that the big four accounting firm, that's for global companies and billionaires and stuff like that. But quite often their fees aren't that different to a second tier firm. And where a lot of their clients might be a half billionaire or a billionaire, when they've already spent the money trying to work out structures of how to hold their $1 billion and what entities to put them in, is if they've already worked it out for the billionaire and the billionaire's paid them the big fees, it's very easy for them to translate it to little old me that's only worth 10 or 15 million.
He says the best advice he's received is to pay for advice.
And I can access that same knowledge bank, but for a fraction of the cost. And so I now don't really worry, or I don't necessarily know how much I'm paying for advice, because the main thing is to get the right advice. Whether I'm paying $100 an hour or $1,000, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't actually matter at all. Quite often what I say is our parents' generation, they try to get wealthy by saving money. All our parents said, look after the pennies look after the pounds. But if you only earn 100 grand and you pay tax on that, you're only going to increase your wealth by maybe 60 or 70 grand, because that's all you earn. Whereas I think the new generation way of thinking is to say, you've got to spend money to make money. And so the same is with the buyer's agent service that we have. So we charge, say, 2%. So on $1 million, we charge 20 grand. But we might buy a property for $1 million rather than pay 1.1 million or 1.05 million at auction. So in our parents' mind, on my business, they'd say, save the 20,000 because you can do it yourself, which, sure, people can do. But a clever CEO or high net worth now would say, well, I'd rather buy it for $1 million and pay you 20, because then I paid $1,020,000, rather than do it myself, waste all my time, maybe make a mistake, and still pay $1,050,000 or 1.1 at auction. So in some people's minds, the negative skeptics, they'll be saying, no, I want to save the money. Whereas in the entrepreneur or the wealth creator's mind, it's no, I've spent money, but that's making me maybe four or five times my money.
Coming up after the break, Gray will reveal the nuts and bolts of his investment strategy, how he applied that strategy to real-world situations.
It's kind of too simple for most clever people. So most people are trying to outthink it, trying to think there's something special, that there must be some hidden secret.
And I ask him how anyone who is buying their first investment property can afford to buy a house in Sydney when the median price is around $1 million.
It is pretty tough. But it was tough 20 or 30 years ago when I started as well. And so you've got to do different things. And so it may be getting four or five jobs to build your deposit. It may be doing it with a brother or sister to share your serviceability.
Hey, podcast listeners, are you enjoying listening to these stories and want more? Then head over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email. Just one of the many benefits of being part of this community. These real case studies are from experienced property investors, where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply visit propertyinvestory.com to get your free case studies. Now back to the show. With Gray owning 14 properties worth a total of $15 million, I asked him how he achieved this and what his strategy was.
My strategy, I quite often say, is it's so basic, it's kind of too simple for most clever people. So most people are trying to outthink it, trying to think there's something special, that there must be some hidden secret that I'm not telling them or someone else isn't telling them. But basically the bottom line is I bought properties and I waited. And I guess the main thing I've done is I've always bought blue chip. So right from buying in the UK when I was 22, my thought process was is if I rent these properties to young professionals, they generally got well-paid jobs. They don't want to lose those jobs, so they're always going to pay the rent. If they end up in trouble, they generally got wealthy parents. And generally in those areas, there is no, I guess quite often there's a limit of supply of property. So if they're in kind of built-up areas, there's lots of young professionals that can afford to rent them. And so generally that lack of supply and increasing demand, that basic economics pushes prices up. And obviously now at, say, 45, so I've spent the last 10 or 12 years interviewing people on TV, reading kind of hundreds of books, speaking to thousands and thousands of people. And sure, I know a hell of a lot now that compared to what I knew 20, 23 years ago. But the main thing of my portfolio is still the same. So these days, I don't buy in the CBD because I think there's no limit of supply. You can keep building all these Meriton towers. So I'm typically going 5 to 15Ks from the main capital city, i.e. Sydney. So I'm in the Eastern Beaches, the Lower North Shore, the Inner West. And that's all the areas where there's three-story height limits. You can't physically build any more properties. Lots of young professionals can afford to live there. And so I think prices continue to rise. And I don't try and time the market. I think even when the market slows, it generally slows down rather than goes down. So property is always more expensive tomorrow in these kind of median priced areas. And that's the other thing, I'm buying median price. So within 20% of the median price, so roughly 9 to 1.2 for a two-bedroom unit in those areas. And I just keep accumulating. I pull the equity out. As soon as I've got enough for another deposit, then I buy another one. And I just wait. And it's pretty much as simple as that.
I challenge this strategy, though. For a person wanting to get their first property, most can't afford to buy one in Sydney that currently averages around $1 million. So, how do they get into the market firstly?
It is pretty tough, but it was tough 20 or 30 years ago when I started as well. And so you've got to do different things. And so it may be getting four or five jobs to build your deposit. It may be doing it with a brother or sister to share your serviceability. It's maybe working with a parent on a guarantee or to use some of their equity that quite often they've got. Basically, the bottom line is if there's a will, there's a way. There's always a way of getting in there. If you can't afford a 500 grand or $1 million property, buy a 100 grand one. Buy something way out west or in a different state. Do your research and get the best property location you can and use that equity to then build up. So I think one of the issues with, I guess, the youth of today, if I can sound old and sound like one of my parents or something like that, is people expect to be able to buy a two-bedroom in Bondi when they're 20 years old. Now, if Bondi is the best or the most expensive suburb, you can't expect that when you're 20 years old. And so it's something that you just got to build on. So even if you're not into property, buy some shares. Now we're looking at a new product next year, which is called fractional ownership. So even if you had 50 grand, say, or some savings towards 50 grand, is this new product now where you might be able to buy a 20th of a Bondi property, and at least it gets you in the market. So I think there really is no excuse these days. You've just got to want it enough and do whatever it takes to get in there.
He explains further what this type of new product is and how it works.
It's a fairly new thing these days. And the philosophy comes from, say, if you had $1 million, you wouldn't necessarily buy $1 million of one share. So why buy $1 million of one property? Is obviously you buy a little bit. And there's different pros and cons and stuff like that, so it's not quite such an easy thing. But in essence, yeah, they might split it into 10,000 shares of that $1 million property. And so effectively you can then, with your $5,000 or $10,000, is then buy a part of that. But rather than own, say, if you had 100 grand, rather than buy 100 grand property and own it yourself that's in the middle of woodwork that you've got no idea if it will ever grow in value, you might prefer to get 10% of a Bondi property. And sure, you might not get as much leverage. You might not have any control over it. Sure, there might be a few more costs of getting in. But is it better to have 10% of a blue chip property than 100% of one that's absolutely rubbish in the middle of nowhere? And some people will make a lot of money from buying those 100 grand ones. And there's other people that will say, no, I'd just rather a percentage of a blue chip one. So there's just more and more options these days. And you need to work out and find someone that can truthfully tell you the real pros and cons of that strategy to work out if it's the right strategy for you.
Gray says everyone has different goals and there's no one right strategy.
So the main thing, and I guess it's almost a disclaimer with these kind of interviews, is there is no one right strategy. So just because I do something, it doesn't make it right for all the other people in the audience. It might suit 50% or 90% or 10%. It depends on who you are. So it's very much a case of look at the strategies, work out the pros and the cons of them, then go to some decent advisors that you're actually paying for advice. Because if you're not paying for them, effectively they're biased and they're going to sell you something that they get a commission on. And so you've got to need to go to independent financial advisors or accountants or mortgage brokers to then work out, is it the right thing for you? And if it is, then go ahead and make a move and do something.
A personal habit Gray shares that has led him to success is to constantly push himself to learn.
I guess the biggest thing is I'm constantly pushing to learn and constantly pushing to invest. And so I spend a lot of money in networking and socializing and going to meetings and learning at seminars and things like that. So just always be looking for whatever the next thing is, or to make sure that I guess there's nothing that I'm missing. So it's even for me, and I think I'm a reasonable expert in what I do, but I still don't get too complacent to think that maybe there's something I'm missing. And so one of the things I've done is I advertise, or I've shared what my wealth is, how much assets I've got, how much money I make, even my P&Ls almost, in the media and across lots of friends and advisors. And it's not to go and boast to say that this is how much money I've got, but I wanted people to question what I was doing and why I was doing it. And initially, a lot of financial advisors would say, oh, I wouldn't be investing in property. It's not liquid. And all these complaints and the rest of it. And I've learned all the counter arguments to all of those different things. And so I'm probably 99% confident of what I'm doing now because I've pretty much put it out there and heard all the counter arguments that I could possibly get. Whereas I think a typical person, they don't tell anyone what they earn for a living. They don't tell them what they've got in their bank and what their strategy is. And so I think it's very hard to become an expert at something if you don't talk about it. And say if you take it to sports, if you want to get better at sports, people have coaches and they share and they go to the gym and they have personal trainers, because if someone else has done something, they can then hopefully put them on a better path. But that's the whole thing with wealth, is if you don't talk about money and you don't share it, there's no way you're going to get very clever at it, because you're only going to learn at your own learning pace rather than someone that's maybe 20 years ahead of you.
Yeah, and that's very important. It's very interesting that we apply and have coaches for sports, but a lot of us don't have coaches for wealth creation or property investing, because it is pretty much a journey. You know, if you want to improve on anything, you've got to really find and seek mentoring or help from others and seek the right professionals to help you grow your wealth base as well. So I think that that's a really good point that you've put out there as well. And it's great that you do share all that, all your wealth and your assets base and put that out in the media so that people can learn from you, not necessarily to boast, as you said, but to actually learn and be inspired to go on a journey. And if the strategy that you're teaching every one of us is something that people resonate with, then definitely go ahead and apply that strategy as well. I guess to wrap up this podcast as well, is there a book that you would recommend or currently listening to share with the listeners?
Oh, look, obviously the best book in the world is The Effortless Empire, which I wrote back in 2004. But no, look, I think there's a lot of really good books out there, and I would almost just go and buy them all. Or if you haven't got the money, go to the library. books are the cheapest things. They're like $20 or $30 or something like that. And they really do give you a lot of information. Now, I mean, one of the things is some people are obviously trying to make money from the books. And so they might have a series of 10 books and they drip feed you stuff all the way through because then they want you to get the next book and the next book and the next book. I mean, one thing I did with my book is, so I think I've sold something like 60 or 70,000 copies, but never really actually sold one. We just give them all away. Because what I thought for my book is, I want to tell everyone there is to know about property all in one book, because effectively, otherwise I'm going to get lots of people coming to me wanting 2 or 3 hours of my time, and I can't afford all of that time to go and give to people. So if I give them the book for completely free and tell them everything there is to need to know, the ones that are never going to buy my services or want to invest somewhere else or don't believe in the buyer's agents model, they'll take the book, they'll get all the information, and they can go off somewhere else. Whereas the ones that do believe in it, then they'll say, hi, Chris, that's great. I've got 3 or 4 questions, and then we're good to go. So I've actually put all the information in my book of everything I think I know, and it's obviously in a bit of a summarized form because I wasn't trying to sell a series of 10 books. And so I think, and obviously I've got a bias to read my book, but I think it's a great book to give you the overall summary of positive cash flow versus negative gears and all the rest of it. And then if you decide you want to follow a different speciality, like you want to buy, renovate and flip, go and then get the 10 books on buy, renovate and flip or positive cash flow properties or negative gears or off the plan. So I think there's so much stuff out there that, again, there really is no excuse for people not to go there. And I think the libraries have legally got to have a copy of every single book that's around. So even if you've got no money, as long as you can afford a library ticket, then that's all the information that you need.
Thanks to the great advice of our guest today, I'm sure many of you have learned a great deal about creating wealth through property. Do you have more questions for Chris Gray? Or do you wish to connect with him? If so,
the easiest way is just to go to yourempire.com.au. If you can't remember that, but you can remember my name, Chris Gray, G-R-A-Y, just Google that and it should come up straight away. And look, pretty much everything we do, we give away. So apart from the buyer's agent service, so there's lots of videos. So my latest book's called The Effortless Empire, and that's the book that tells you how to get that $5 or $10 million value of property and kind of really retire big time. The first book was called Go For Your Life, How to Turn Your Weekdays Into Weekends. That, again, you can get through, if you go onto our newsletter, you can get a download of that as well. And that was really how I bought my first 6 properties and retired at the age of 31. So it's all the numbers to do with that first property, of that 3-bedroom house being cheaper than 3-bedroom unit, how I got my Porsche, how I did my next joint venture with my dad to get property 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then how I actually retired out of work. So, look, all the information's there. And pretty simple reads. I don't know any big words, so it's very easy reading.
If you want to hear about Chris Gray's property investing story and how he successfully uses property to live a big life, driving supercars, choppers, luxury boats, and living in a harbourfront home, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Simply type in the search bar Chris Gray and select that episode to listen to and learn more about his story. You can also get the full transcript and show notes on our website. And thanks for listening.